This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
May the 15th be with you. That's right, back at it again. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Kelly Bidlin. You're locked into a numbers game. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We got you covered for the next 3 hours. Don't go anywhere, people. We got a lot to get to, including two game sixes on the wood tonight. We'll break that down, plus recap what went down last night, including VGK heading to the Western Conference Finals. The NFL schedule, it's officially out. Kelly and I have some interesting tidbits, some overs, some unders that make sense based on what we've seen through some of the trends that have come out since the schedules have been released. And of course, the PGA Championship currently going on, where I found out right before the show, Kelly Bidlin has a very interesting wager he is currently sweating, and unfortunately, it may not be going well. Bottom of this hour, we got soccer with Paul Carr. He'll break down everything going on in the Premier League and the FA Cup. We've also got Chris Felica, the Bears, with us to break down the Preakness. It's a bit different this year. Not normally the names we're used to seeing, but I'm sure Felica has got some winners along the way. We'll go NBA with Jonathan Von Tobel via Money Moves. I still think technically the senior NBA analyst here on VSiN.
Ooh, good question. Yeah. I don't think he lost the title at any point.
But I think he would claim he never gave himself the title.
But you can't give yourself a title.
No, you can. It's not a nickname. You can't give it. Although I've told everyone to call me Swede forever, and Patrick Maher fought about that with me the first time I ever met him. And then Jonathan Davis, VSiN hockey analyst, in our final hour of the show. But that's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Let's talk, Kelly, a little golf, because I am not the biggest golf guy in the world. However, I've gotten into it a bit this year, and I was very, the antenna went off last night when I was looking at the leaderboard going, hold on, Scottie Scheffler's leading after one, which is weird. And I found out that indeed was weird. So as the co-leader heading into this morning, it was the first time in his career after round one he was leading a major at 67 overall. And I came in with all these questions ready for you. Can he front run? Because I think of like Steve Prefontaine, the long distance runner, mm-hmm. who passed away before he could win his gold medal. But he liked to front run. He liked to get out in front and make everyone chase him. But it feels like watching golf for a while is that Scottie Scheffler likes to kind of hang back early and then make his move and pounce as the event goes on throughout the weekend. And as someone who bet Scottie this week at the PGA, were you concerned coming into today that he was leading and the style of the fight was going to be a little bit different for the world number one player?
No, not at all. I think it's a great question because you're absolutely right that his major first round success doesn't really match what else he's done in his career. This was a big storyline with him early in the season too, that he was getting off to these slow starts and just didn't have enough to finally come back in the end, or was having to come back so much. I did a podcast during the offseason, the golf offseason, with Byron Lindekew, and we kind of went through a bunch of like scoring stats from 2025. He was still the best first round scorer last season overall. So it's very much a majors thing for him, but not a PGA Tour thing for him.
Well, today he is plus two through three. He is no longer your leader. He's tied for 12, not to rub salt in that wound. But right now, we've got a few guys atop the leaderboard. Alex Smalley, who I don't know who that is. Potgieter there as well, tied for one. Steven Yeager, Minwoo Lee, and I don't know how to say that other name, the Japanese guy. But that's the top of the leaderboard.
Ryo Hisatsune.
Yeah, well done. And then you've got Patrick Reed and some other names right on their heels as mm-hmm. they get going early on. Your thoughts on the course through the first day?
Oh, gosh, it's playing brutal. Weather's come into play a little bit. We saw that yesterday, rain early. Even when you think weather's going to help you out, we thought they were going to get rain early. That would slow down some of the greens. Our greens still played very fast yesterday. You probably saw some highlights from Bryson DeChambeau with just tapping a ball off the green, and it went about 50 yards off the other side of it. So greens were very fast yesterday, which surprised me with the rain they got early. Then you had wind kick up a little bit in the afternoon. That caused its own problems, and the scoring so far today has been just as brutal. By my last count, there are three guys out on the golf course that are two under or better for their rounds. There is a lot of plus numbers out there next to golfers.
Now, Bryson DeChambeau, you mentioned his name. He did not speak with the media after his first round yesterday.
Shocking.
Where are you at with guys like that? That in the midst of this thing, when they're competing and it's a couple day long event, and they're not willing to talk to the media when things aren't going their way, but when things are going their way, they're happy to be sunshines and rainbows?
Yeah, it's you know what? This is where golf, tennis, some of these other individual sports
yes.
are different from league-operated
right.
sports, right? With team sports where there are leagues, there are unions, there are mandated media times that you have to do, injury reporting, right? We don't get any of that in golf. So some of these guys, yeah, they can say, screw it, I'm not doing this.
That's a good point, because also when you're answering questions at your locker room when you play in the NFL or the NBA, you're also answering to make a statement to let your teammates know that you're taking ownership of a mistake mm-hmm. or something you did wrong, or you're giving credit to someone else on your team. Individual sports are selfish. No offense to anyone who
right,
played them.
Yeah.
People hate when I say this. This is probably the most interaction I get on Twitter with people slamming me. And believe me, there's plenty of reasons to slam me. But golf and tennis were the sports growing up, at least. That's what people played who didn't make the baseball team or the basketball team or didn't play on the football team.
Yeah.
Like, those were the sports that you fell back into. And I think there's a level like that teamwork aspect that makes a lot of sense, where you're just answering for yourself, so you can sit there and go, you know what, I'm not going to talk to the media. Scottie Scheffler, though, leader after round one, he talked to the media. Here's what he had to say yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the best start I've gotten off to this year, maybe besides American Express, maybe. But yeah, I felt like, especially going into the weekend, when you look at like the Masters and Hilton Head and Cadillac, finishing second was probably not all that bad from where I was starting the weekend. And so, yeah, definitely nice to get off to a better start this week.
All right, well, Scottie Scheffler, as we mentioned, things not going well today. He's plus two through three. However, still your favorite in the betting market. Plus 410 to be your outright winner. Minus $1.24 top five. Minus 260 top 10. You're already pot committed, Kelly Bidlin. Would you go back for seconds? Would you do a little double dip with that number at over 4-1?
Man, it is probably not, because if I didn't, look, I have bet already, right? I'm not gonna go double dip personally. I think if you didn't have any bets, though, on this tournament and you're looking to make one right now, I'd probably still give it a little bit of time here this morning, see how this course is playing. That number out to over 4-1, I have a feeling. I haven't seen where Scotty's lined up right now, but I have a feeling another bogey might be coming his way in the or on the cards here.
Now, if he doesn't play well, hasn't he had enough of a track record where, for instance, the Masters this year,
mm-hmm.
where even if it looks like he's out of it, he can still make a surge because he can pick up so many strokes throughout the next few days of the tournament here? At minus 260, I kind of want to pair that with something in a parlay and see if I can shorten something else up in another market to be a top 10.
Top 10, yeah.
Minus 260. You can go top 5, minus 124.
Like,
but is there a world where Scottie can't at least fight and claw his way back when the course is so brutal to begin with, as there's like attrition with some of these other guys that just don't have his medal? I kind of want to pair that with something. The question is, what do I pair that with? At Dustin Sweetelson, at Kelly Bidlin, at VSiN Live. How can we build out this little two-team parlay?
So I just wanted to pull up this stat for you. I had heading into the tournament. Over the last 17 majors, 17 of them, Dustin Sweetelson. He won four times. He's finished in the top 10, 13 of those times.
That's what I'm saying.
13 of 17. It's not a bad clip there. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty good look for sure. I think some other guys that I would consider, if I didn't have any bets on the tournament right now, brought this up yesterday over at VSiN.com. All of us doing long shots, and Matt Youmans as well, writing after each round of the PGA Championship. Brooks Koepka, there's some throwback names here that I think could be interesting bets right now. Brooks Koepka, he was second in tee to green yesterday scoring, and then he gave back over two strokes on his round with the putter. The putter is where we usually see the most movement throughout a tournament, Dustin, where it will catch hot, it will get cold for a round, go away, come back. So usually you like to play the regression game when it comes to putting. He stands out, and then John Rahm does as well. He was another guy third in tee to green yesterday in the entire field and gave back over a stroke on the putting surface. So those are two names that I think there's probably a lot of fans of out there that I actually would consider looks at maybe a live top 10. Problem is, when you're talking live outrights right now, when there's someone like Scottie Scheffler in the way, it makes it way more difficult for me to go recommend an outright bet right now. I would look more for the live placements.
That's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's a numbers game. VSiN, the sports betting network. We did have some news in hockey last night. As for starters, the Golden Knights are back in the Western Conference Final. 5-1, they advance past a young, up-and-coming Anaheim Ducks team. Final score there, they win the series 4-2. Montreal took a lead 3-2, winning at Buffalo 6-3 last night. Tons of scoring in the postseason here in hockey. But also, home ice is pretty much irrelevant.
Yeah.
This used to be such a huge part of the handicap. If you were going to bet hockey night in and night out, you had to factor in that these environments were going to be crazy. The crowds are going to be fired up, and it was just difficult to win on the road. Montreal in their own building at the Bell Center has lost a few games during this playoff run, and now they win on the road at Buffalo. As maybe Buffalo, a team that got hot post-New Year, so starting in January, maybe that luck is starting to run out, and the nation of Canada, one last team they're rooting for to potentially bring the cup back that side of the border.
This is, it's amazing that we are, you know, getting the Stanley Cup playoffs. Just some of these teams that are around every year now, it feels like Colorado, Carolina, right? Like they're around every single year. These are like two franchises I want to root for, like to advance, you know what I mean, right? It's so fun with the Canada angle, and then Buffalo's just a great sports town. Buffalo's clearly has some goaltending issues, huh? Like they can't figure out where to go, and then they just gave up 6 goals last night. That's a problem.
Yeah, they have a couple guys to choose from. Unfortunately, it's not going well for whoever they put.
Yeah, this is like if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Feels like that.
I would also say that if we do get what the betting market believes we're going to get, which is Carolina versus Colorado in the Stanley Cup final, it might be an all-timer. Like those are clearly the two best teams in each conference. So if we get that, now VGK will have something to say with that. Maybe Montreal has something to say about that. We'll do more on that later on in the program with Jonathan Davis from VSiN.com. But as I mentioned at the start, we got 2 Game 6s on the wood tonight. Which one is more likely to go 7 in the series? Kelly will break it down on the other side of a numbers game.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Yeah, buddy, back at it on a numbers game. He is Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It appears we struck a nerve on the old social media, at Dustin Sweetelson, at Kelly Bidlin. By the way, we make it easier than everyone else on the network to find us on social media.
Yeah.
At VSiN Live for the network. We threw this out there last segment, wanted to see if it would hit. If you could pay just a crazy amount of money, is there one band you would come see at the Sphere that you're willing to shell it all out for? I got to tell you, some of the responses, a little disheartening. I think our audience is... I thought it skewed a little bit younger at times, but no. They want to see a lot of old people, like as marionettes being pulled around there in their aging years at the Sphere. I'll share some of those bands with you, but let us know, who would you go see over at the Sphere? Kelly's just shaking his head. He's looking at the replies.
We got Pink Floyd twice. There's like 8 people that responded. We got Pink Floyd twice.
I would watch Pink Floyd if you queued the songs up with The Wizard of Oz, because I've never done that, and I've never done trippy drugs. But I would do it at the Sphere. I might have to go to the hospital at the end of it. But I think that's something that I would have to see in person. The Sphere.
I'll go to that show with you,
with
buddy.
Dark Side of the Moon queued up to The Wizard of Oz. Are you kidding me?
Here's here's the wildest one from Spence. Unpopular opinion. He's already seen it. Fish. So if apparently Fish will never be topped for him.
Dude, Fish stink. Fish.
There's also you. You're either a fish person or you're not.
You've just done too much ecstasy and like your brain can't process music properly. In fact, I think that describes our next guest. He is Chris the Bear Felica. You know him, Fox Sports, the Bear Bets podcast, at Chris Felica on X, and he joins us now on a numbers game. I'll pose the question to you, Bear. If you could just shell out the money to see one band that you could just lock in that opportunity, who would you come to the Sphere and see?
Well, did I miss Metallica already? Because I know that they were slated.
No,
I can't
My fiance tried to get tickets. The earliest she got online was number 25,000th in line.
Oh, okay. So so you're saying there's a chance then.
It's quick. Yeah.
Pink Floyd's a good one. Now, if you're talking like peak Pink Floyd with Roger Waters and Gilmore and everything, like that would be fascinating. Because I saw, to date myself now, I saw Pink Floyd in Miami like in 1993 or 92 on the Division Bell Tour. And with the light show that they have, when there was a little bit of mist in the air, it was awesome. So like if we're talking like even like pre that, then Pink Floyd is a really good answer.
Yeah, growing up, I do remember like touring in our area. I don't know if they ever went national, but we had a Pink Floyd cover band called The Machine. I want to say that was in town a lot. Okay. I think they went in a bunch of Northeast places. They were supposed to be almost as good as a Pink Floyd. I'm with you. I would go see Pink Floyd. As much as I like to make fun of old people, I'm into Pink Floyd very much so. Now, let's talk a little Preakness, because I got to tell you, Chris, as someone who, like, on the outside, like, cares about horse racing but doesn't follow it as close as you guys who like to bet it every single day does, it was a little disheartening when I looked at the field and I went, hang on, there's no Baffert, there's no Bill Mott, there's no Todd Pletcher, and I know a lot of that is because they're doing this race at Laurel Park because we have all the construction going on, but 151st Preakness, a lack of names, how does that impact the card in your eyes?
The card overall is much weaker than it's normally been, and that's understandable. Like I said, a lot of the bigger name trainers, the bigger connections, don't want to take their horses to a track that they normally don't run at, and I get it. Now, while the Preakness is going to be a little bit of a disappointment, what it is going to set up for is a really good Belmont at Saratoga in 3 weeks, when you're going to get Golden Tempo back, you're going to get Renegade back, you're going to get Emerging Market back, you're going to get Chief Wallaby back, you'll probably get the Brad Cox Further Ado in as well. You'll get those runners back, and maybe a couple of new ones. Maybe the winner here will move on. So while this race might be a little bit of a downer a couple of weeks, the Belmont will be great. But it does offer, as a handicapper, and I'm sure Mike Somich feels the same way. I haven't actually heard him yet this week. I'll have to go back and listen to some of the segments with him. Mm. It offers great value and great opportunity for horse players who may think there is some bullets, some flaws in the favorites here, which I think they're due. Like Ocelli, who is one of the two horses, along with Incredible, that is running back in the Preakness after running in the Derby. Like, Ocelli, to me, has all of the makings of a horse. A one-run closer at Churchill just happened to take to the track that day, that found a seam in the lane and ran the best buyer speed figure of his life by a lot against him. Taj Mahal, the local horse, drew the rail. He's a talented horse, 3-for-3. All the wins are at Laurel, so he probably will go off as the favorite. But some of the people who I follow in terms of following the works and training leading up to it said he seems to be lacking maturity. I think David Aragona was the one that used that quote for him. And on the rail, you're looking at a pace scenario, I think, with Krupa, Robusta, Chipancho, Napoleon Solo, maybe Coronadoro, and Pretty Bomaya. I think the pace scenario is going to set up where you're going to get one of those mid-flight prices and maybe a couple of long shots very live. So you're looking at the short prices here. I think there are a lot of flaws with the most of them.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, 6 horses, 8-1 or shorter right now out there on the morning line. Numbers, Mike Somich did join this fine program yesterday, Chris, when we talked to him, and he said talking jumped out to him at 20-1. Are you kind of floating down into that range? You're kind of avoiding some of these favorites?
Oh, boy. Danny Gargan and Arad Ortiz are going to have me on board talking as well as Somich now, aren't we? There were 2 long shots that struck out to me, and talking was one of them. He's been pointed to this race since the Bluegrass. People are going to look at the form and see, beaten 12 lengths in that race. But you got to remember, Further Ado freaked and won by 11 lengths. It's his third start off the layoff for his third start of the year. He should really improve. He clearly needed the race at Tampa when he was beaten by the Puma. He was 4-1 against the Renegade and the Remsen last fall. He was the same price as Napoleon Solo, who won the Champagne as a 2-year-old. So clearly, this horse has a lot of ability and a lot of respect and is thought highly of. Like, I think this horse is going to fall into a stalking trip. Remember a couple of years ago at the Belmont, Danny Gargan won with Dornick. Name is slipped my mind for a little while at 18-1. So I think he's a live long shot. And I think if you're willing to take another stab at a price horse and a little bit of a leap of faith, maybe look at the number 11 horse, Corona de Oro. Like, in terms of 30-1 shots, I think he has some appeal to him. He's gotten much better since going from 2 to 3. The question for me is going to be, do you think he is a need-the-lead type, or can he kind of sit off the front-end pace like he did in the sprint races when he was younger? He was a beaten favorite in the fairgrounds in a 6-furlong race to start the year, came off the pace there. Then the next two races, odds-on favorite, next start, romped. And then he went to the front in the Lexington and then kind of just faded after setting the pace. And he was 7-2 in that race, so clearly they thought Dallas Stewart's colt had a chance there. I would think he's going to move forward. Usually the second start against winners is a race where you do take a step forward and run a better race. I'm hoping John Velasquez kind of just slides into the spot occupied by Napoleon Solo, the 10 horse who's going to go to the front. And maybe he sits in there and follows Iron Honor around all the way around. Dallas Stewart's a guy who has had 4 horses run second in Triple Crown races. All of them were at least 28-1. So, you know, when Meth Field, I'm all for looking for a price. If you do like one of the shorter shots, I like Iron Honor, the best of all of the short prices. All the Chad Brown's horses that really are betting the Preakness have tended to run well. He won the Gotham last year as a 2-year-old. He was the beaten favorite, or I should say earlier this year, as a 3-year-old. He won the Gotham. Then he was the beaten favorite in the Wood, and he drew a brutal post in the Wood Memorial all the way outside. Taking blinkers off tells me that Chad Brown thinks Flavien Prat can get this horse to relax, expecting a speed duel. So if you're looking to fool around with a trifecta key or an exacta key box, maybe putting the number 9 horse Iron Honor in there, first and second in the exacta, first, second, third in the try, expecting him to hit the board and play around with a couple of long shots around him. Like I said, maybe the 5 Talking, maybe the 11 Corona de Oro, maybe the 1 Taj Mahal if he does run well, the 12 Incredible, the other horse coming in from the Derby who I think could run well. But yeah, I would be willing to take a stand here and try and occupy those exotics with a couple of price horses.
Chris the Bear Felica is our guest, the Bear Bets podcast at Chris Felica on X. We've got Chris's Preakness bets. They're up there on the screen, VSiN Watch app, YouTube TV. They'll also be up at VSiN.com/picks. So your favorite, though, your favorite anchor horses for this event, give it to us again real quickly.
Yeah, I would play, if you want to play a straight exact a box, I would play 15911, which is Taj Mahal, Talking, Iron Honor, and Corona de Oro. And then I would kind of play around that trifecta that I have with Iron Honor and the 12 horse Incredible in one of the spots with the 5 and the 11, the 2 price horses, Talking and Corona de Oro with all. You play 9-12 with 5-11 with all. That's 48. And then on the other side, you have to play 5-11 with 1-9-12 with all. That would be 72 if you have some money and you're willing to spend that money. Like, I can assure you, if one of those tries hits, it's going to come back for a hell of a lot more than 48 or 72 bucks.
He is Chris the Bear Felica. Check out the Bears Bets podcast at Chris Felica on X. Great catching up and chatting with you, my friend. Good luck with all the bets, and we will chat soon.
Thanks, Justin. See you, Kyle. Have a great weekend.
Awesome stuff. Thanks, Chris. From Chris Felica, a legend in the game. Mm-hmm. He's an absolute legend in the game. Sure. I want to remind you, a legend in the game, our buddies over at Just Win Bets, baby. 20 leagues, one mission. Just Win Bets, baby, is your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code or visit justwinbetsbaby.com and bet smarter with Just Win Bets, baby. The name says it all. A headline that terrifies the bosses when I'm in studio, but it is breaking news. A Major League Baseball pitcher involved in cockfighting. That's next on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Just keeping the bit going. Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken. All right. A lot of talk about these birds on this show. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. If you don't know what we're talking about, got to go back, check out the show wherever you get your podcasts. I think Kelly's confused about
what was the band?
No, this wasn't related to the band. Well, there's a lot of birds. The Eagles was a bird.
What you just what
Chickadee
you just,
China. Yeah, was it Bare Naked Ladies?
No.
Hold on. No. See, luckily we live in an era where you can just Google it.
Yeah, I like to think it out loud, though, you know? Really get the gears
grinding.
It was
Bare Naked Ladies 1 week.
Really?
That's right. Yeah.
Well done.
About, too, is a lot of movies, and our next guest will probably agree with this, a lot of movies, the entire plot can be just completely debunked if they were just the film was based today where there was Google, like Reservoir Dogs, where they can't get on the same page timing-wise. Whole movie if they just have smartphones.
Oh, no, I saw the best one I saw this on Instagram like 2 days ago, Superbad. Superbad came out the same summer as the first iPhone. If you really want to ruin that movie for yourself, go think about how the entire plot wouldn't make sense if they could just like text each other and be on a group chat and everything.
Yeah, exactly. So we're lucky to be born in the time that we were born. That's what I would say. All right. He is Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are now going to talk a little NBA, go out to the Progressive guest line. Welcome in our buddy JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. Catch him later today on Money Moves alongside Stormy Bonantoni, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. And we were going to begin here, JVT, with a question we were kicking around earlier. Are you still VSiN senior NBA analyst, or are you now just co-host of Money Moves?
First off, I'm glad in a true numbers game tradition, you have kept along me just sitting here for 2 minutes while you talk about nonsense.
I was told I had to.
But I would say that I don't think I am, although it's used as a title every once in a while. It's funny. Bill called me the NBA Bigfoot in a newsletter like at the beginning of the basketball season. But then he started calling Zach that in the newsletter. So I think I've been demoted, like, quietly. I have no idea what's happening. So as long as you guys want to just put up Money Moves co-host, host of Pod to the Futures, frequent guest on Hardwood Handicappers, and jack of all trades, I think that's probably fitting.
And jacking has also been a theme here on the show.
Yeah, it is.
A lot going on here. We've got two big game sixes tonight, JVT. I asked Kelly this earlier. If I forced you to choose one that's more likely to go seven, which one is it?
Of the two, I mean, I'll just do the cop out answer and be like the one that's the shortest favorite, you know, Pistons and Cavs. I think that probably is it, right? The Cavaliers obviously went down 2-0 in the series. The Pistons do have some strengths on defense that have bothered Cleveland. So I think that is the easy answer at this point right now. The other one is a 5.5-point road favorite. So one would assume that that series is going to end tonight. But this seems like the easy answer between these two. Although I will say, I do not think that happens. I think Cleveland's going to close this thing out tonight.
Okay. I was going to say, if I'm reading between the lines, yeah. I guess you're on the Pistons. But no, that is not the case. You do not think it is the Pistons plus four. What any side total plays for you tonight in either game?
Yeah, so I laid 3.5 minus 115 yesterday, Kelly, with Cleveland. So I'm in on the Cavalier side. I expected this to get back to like that 4.5 range. And, I was looking at the screen right before I came on. It seems like that's the consensus number at this point right now. About 4.5 shaded to one side or the other. But, yeah, I think that Cleveland is obviously in control in the series. They've won 3 straight. But it's not just about the wins, guys. It's the way that they're executing these victories. They have changed the way that they're starting to play. A lot is being made of the free throw discrepancy. Cleveland's forcing the issue in the paint. Yeah. They're going after these guys. They're trying to get into the the restricted area, floaters, shots at the rim, all those sort of things. They're getting to the free throw line as a result of that. Defensively, they have finally realized over the last few games that, hey, Ausar Thompson's not a threat. So let's just leave him alone and do nothing with him. And it's really clogged up the spacing for the Detroit Pistons. They have started to double. Ryan Windhorst had an incredible stat in his podcast today about the frequency in which they had started to double Cade Cunningham. I believe they threw 13 doubles at him in total in the first 2 games, and that has nearly tripled over the last 2. So, like, they've really started to throw different bodies at him. They're also more than willing, and I think this is kind of like the Diet Jokic strategy. Remember the year that they went to the run on the NBA Finals and won it against Miami? And we always talked about this. If Jokic has the big game, the monster game, that's probably not great for Denver because that means everybody's getting involved or nobody's getting involved. But if he's got, like, that triple-double where he's got, like, you know, like 20 points, but 11 rebounds and 12 assists, that means everybody's getting involved and the offense is great. Look what happened in the last game. Tobias Harris has one of his worst games of the series. He finally quiets down over the last two. Cade has a near 40-point triple-double, and they lose the game. I think that Cleveland has really started to figure out what they want to do in this series against this group, and now they're back home where they have played better offensively. I just think everything's pointing to the Cavaliers, and, you know, Kelly, you're in the Hardwood Handicappers group chat. I've been somewhat stubborn with Zach and the thought of I think this team was going to win this series, and there's no reason for me now after three straight wins to back off of that.
JVT's our guest. Jonathan Von Tobel. Catch him on Money Moves, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern alongside Stormy right here on VSiN. All right, so it sounds like you're pretty bullish on Cleveland getting credit for this series right now, more so than saying it's Detroit having some issues. They're still plus 280 to win the East, JVT. And you know I'm a Knicks fan, but I'm a little concerned at how much everyone's just buying in. The Knicks look awesome and they're going to win the East and go to the finals. Do you believe Cleveland now is hitting their stride in this series? And despite, you know, the rest advantage going to New York, do you still think plus 280 might be worth a look?
Yeah, and look, I think Cleveland can still win the East, obviously. I mean, they're up 3-2 in the series. They were my pick to win the East. And, you know, to invoke what I just said, too, like there's no reason I think right now where I'm standing that I would come off of that at this point. This is going to be such a different look for Cleveland. Think about the two defensive opponents they've had to face for the first two rounds of the postseason. Toronto, really good, gritty group that's got a bunch of athletic wings that can handle them. Then you've got this Detroit team, who's one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. This is going to be such a relief to them against New York to be able to pick on Jalen Brunson, to be able to pick on Karl Anthony Towns. This is going to be an open and almost free-flowing series that Cleveland has yet to see should they move on here. I think that there's going to be some issues for the Knicks. And look, the Knicks have been playing fantastic on offense. There's obviously no question. And they, too, are going to be able to pick and choose their spots. But at the very least, Cleveland, I think, does have some answers and some remedies to what they want to do defensively against the Knicks. You've got two big sore spots there on that floor out there together that Cleveland's going to be able to go after. And I do think there's going to be times where Jalen Brunson and his big head, as it was pointed out by Kelly Oubre and others, he's going to be in a lot of situations like in that Atlanta series when CJ McCollum made him up for two games. And I think that's going to be really tough for the Knicks over the course of a long series, Dustin. So I'm with you. You know, I was asked the other day, you know, or was told, I said, essentially, when I was doing local, it would be an abject failure if the Knicks weren't going to win the East. And I was like, well, you're kind of presenting that as if the other two teams don't have a shot against them, where the Pistons beat the crap out of them in the regular season and the Cavaliers have some really strong offensive upside. They're going to really give them some problems. So, yes, I do think the Cavs present some value to win the East, and I do think they can win that series against the Knicks should they move on tonight.
Man, it is I feel like I've been the Knicks defender all season long, but this I don't want to see where the series price opens and where we kind of move to before game one, because I'm with both of you guys that I think it's probably going to result in it being tough to pass on the Cavs.
Well, the problem with the Knicks is it's when you start to believe.
Right,
when things
exactly.
are going well, it falls apart. It's when you start to doubt them, they have a chip on their shoulder, and they play like the team they're supposed to be.
And how often do we talk about regression on this network, no matter the sport? Like, the Knicks are playing at a higher level than we have seen them play in the last 4 years, five years. It's insane. I think it would be pretty stunning for them not to come back a little bit.
But they have all those celebrities that sit courtside. I don't know if you guys know that. They,
JVT hates New York. He hates that.
He loves
that.
Every
game. Want to be
it's
there.
It's every game. Oh, the stars are out. Like, yes, they're there every game. We don't need a tweet from the NBA account to see Spike Jones. Like, come on. Like, I'm so tired of this. Every time. Oh, it's Ben Stiller. Yeah, Spike Lee. Sorry, I got all angry.
All right, JVT, the other
Spike
game.
Lee, I'm tired of it.
The other game six we have tonight. Just again, Spurs, Timberwolves, any bets here for you heading into this one?
I'm going to be stubborn. I'm going to go with Minnesota one more time. Okay. And I have gotten my teeth kicked in going against San Antonio this entire series. But I do think that I wonder, Kelly, if 2 days off finally for the first time, what seems like an eternity, is really going to help out Anthony Edwards, who's already looked tremendous here as the series has gone along. But that knee finally gets 2 days to just rest and relax and get some treatment and get ready at home. You wonder if I heard you guys talking, if Jaden McDaniels is going to show up. He had little spurts here and there in game five, but he has not been consistent in this series, much like he was against Denver. So that's got to change things here a little bit. And I'd say other thing really quickly, I know that they are really missing Dante DiVincenzo. So you do wonder if Naz Reid gets a few more minutes to try to space this thing out, get their spacing a little bit more right as well, and maybe go with some single bigs too. But I think at 5.5, I think that's worth playing Minnesota one last time and see if they can stay inside that number.
All right, real quick before we let you go, number one pick market for the NBA draft. We've got the combine going on, and I'm with you on one of your plays. Let's talk number one pick. Where's the value on the board right now?
I mean, I think it's Peterson. I don't think there's really any question about it. We played this the other day. I sent it to Kelly and Zach. Jonathan Givony on Zach Lowe's show was just like, I'm paraphrasing, I don't know where this is coming from with Darren Peterson not being considered the best prospect in this draft. And I would agree with him. As Givony points out in the pod with Zach Lowe as well, if you like this sort of thing, when they played on the same floor together in conference play, Peterson was wildly the better player when they played against one another. And I think really quickly, Dustin, you know, you like these long shots. My conspiracy is Peterson goes one. If I'm right, Carlos Boozer convinces the front office that he works for that his son should go two, and AJ DeBonta goes number three at 25-1. I think that's worth looking at for sure.
Hey, if you wanted to hear more futures talk, it'd be great if there was a podcast that did it. I would call it Pod to the Futures, and I'd put JVT with Mitch Moss on. Oh, in fact, it's real. You can check it out wherever you get your podcast. Thanks as always for doing this, my friend. We'll chat soon.
Would you also give the co-host that's a little bit older a microphone that works? Maybe that would be something we could add to the podcast.
I don't know.
Oh, is one of
buy your own, Mitch.
Is one of you having issues with technology? Can he afford it?
Maybe. Okay. But you didn't have any issues with me today. We'll just put it that way.
And he's holding the mic, okay? All right, we've got to hit the baseball card. Kelly will update you on what's going on with the golf, but we've got a game that I love the over in, and I'll explain why on the other side of a numbers game.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on a numbers game. Dustin Sweetelson filling in for Gil Alexander. Don't worry, you only have to look at my face, my body for two more days, today and Monday. Gil returns on Tuesday. Did he disclose to which parts he adventured to for his vacation?
You know what? That's a good question, but I don't think it's no big secret this time. He went to D.C., and then I believe he's on the beach near Miami right now.
Okay, so it was not planning a political run in the nation's capital?
I don't. Maybe that's what he was doing for a couple days.
Ooh, that's the question. Who would make if one person at VSiN ran for president? Who would make the best president? That is the question.
Who would make the best president, and who would have the best chance to win? Very different things.
Yes. 100%.
But those are different things.
No, because there's currently an election going on in LA where I think someone might win, and I don't think they know what they're doing, but I love that they might win.
There you go.
So I'm way into it. We are not a political station. I just want to point that out. Now, one guy who would not be eligible to run for president on the VSiN staff, that is Jonathan Davis, because he is Canadian, and that would not be allowed. He's not allowed to be the president. I'm president of VSiN, but not president of the United States of America. And Jonathan Davis is the NHL analyst for VSiN. You can check him out over at VSiN.com with daily articles breaking down all the games and more. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. JD, your thoughts. Now, you're Canadian, so, like, you're very nice, and you like nice people. Does anyone jump out to you that would make the best president, or would get your vote to be president of the VSiN co-workers of yours?
All right. First off, I'm a dual citizen. So am I allowed to run for president?
I don't think dual citizens can be president.
Ooh, let me Google.
I don't know.
We should know these things.
One foot in, one foot out. I don't know.
Best president. I'm going with Matt Brown for president.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Even with his haircut. Okay. Interesting.
Even with the haircut. But I would love to see Paulie run for president.
Oh God. Oh, balance the budget sheet. Paul, let's go. That's what you know what? That would be the reality show I'd be here for.
I would
pay money to just have someone say, Paul Howard, here's an Excel spreadsheet. Explain to me how it works. That would be my favorite thing of all time.
All right, yes, legally, a dual citizen can run for president.
But you weren't born in
America.
That's
what AI tells me. I don't know. AI tells me a dual citizen can.
I don't know about that. Now, I know John Tortorella can't be president anytime soon. JD, can you explain to me what the heck I saw last night as I'm going to bed? I'm seeing all these reports. VGK advances. They take care of Anaheim. Really good series by the Ducks, though, and a tremendous, like, build-upon season for them. But VGK advances, and I'm seeing reports Tortorella didn't stick around to, one, do handshakes after the game, and two, do a post-game presser. What's that guy's deal?
Okay, so we did do handshakes with the coaches did handshakes immediately after the game with each other. So okay. Tortorella went over to the Anaheim bench and had an exchange with Joel Quenneville and his other staff members. And he may have just said, you know what, some coaches believe the handshake line is for the players and not the coaches. So I'm not going to get on him for that. Why he didn't address the media after the game, I don't know. I'd like to know. There's got to be a fine there for sure. Very, very surprising. Even for Torts, I just would have. I don't know enough right now to, you know, to say what was going on. But maybe there was something to it.
Okay, well, they open up on Wednesday, which feels like a lot of time in between these series, especially for Colorado, who's been waiting to start. Colorado's a -260 favorite. VGK +210. I mean, my eye, that seems about appropriate. Do you think those numbers are correct for the series price?
I do, but here's the way that I will approach it. It's the way I've approached a lot of the series. I did this with Vegas and Anaheim. I did this with Montreal and Buffalo. I will play both teams to win in six and both teams to win in seven. And as long as we get to six games, I come away with at least one unit of value. So that's the way I will approach the series. I mean, the big question mark surrounding Colorado Avalanche right now is the health of their defenseman, Cale Makar. It looks like he's got a banged up shoulder. I mean, he got hit last game. He immediately dropped his stick. He couldn't hold it. He was clenching his right arm. So if he is compromised in any way, I mean, you're talking about a game changer back there. That definitely levels the playing field in this series.
All right, Jonathan, let's go over to game six tomorrow night in Montreal. Right now, the Canadiens -162 favorites in this game, 6.5 total. Actually, shop around. I see a couple sixes out there as well. Where are you looking tomorrow night in Sabres and Canadiens?
Over for me. That's my best bet. 12 of the last 13 meetings between these two teams have had at least six goals or more. So I'll grab the six. I did that at FanDuel this morning, and I'll play the first period over 1.5. Every game in this series has also gone over in the first period. So those are my two favorite plays. Other than that, Cole Caulfield, the man that they call Mr. Saturday Night, he gets to play his first Saturday night game here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. 21 of his 51 goals this year were scored on Saturdays. He has scored a goal on a Saturday in 8 of his last 10 Saturday games. He's heating up with goals in 3 straight, and you can get his anytime goal prop at +150.
All right, JD, Jonathan Davis is with us, VSiN NHL analyst at West Coast Hockey NHL on X, where you can find him on social media. So one team we have not mentioned during this conversation is the Carolina Hurricanes. They're a perfect 8-0 in the postseason, JD.
That's pretty good.
And I think you know where I'm going here. They have not played since May 9th, and you've got Buffalo and Montreal potentially with a game 7 if it's necessary on Monday, which means I guess we wouldn't get started till Wednesday or Thursday, which would put us at what, like the 20th or 21st? They haven't played since May 9th. At some point, do you believe this huge layoff impacts the Hurricanes and their chances to win the East and go to the final?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I would think for game one, but I thought that for, you know, when they played Philadelphia and they had the long layoff and they came out flying. It was interesting. One of my friends who hosted a national radio show in Canada said the Carolina Hurricanes should go play over at the Hockey World Championships going on right now just to get some reps in. it's long. It's a long layoff. And look, I thought Buffalo would be better suited to play Carolina. And on paper, I think they are. But the way Buffalo has kind of crumbled these last couple of games, you know, Montreal right now with the goaltending that they have, I think, you know, they'll give them a good fight. I don't know if I hope they can beat them because I do have that futures ticket of Carolina being eliminated in the conference final at +450, which I did in the summer. But yeah, look. 2 weeks. I mean, look, yeah, it's a long time. It's a long time. Maybe they're in Cabo right now, for all we know.
Yeah, you know, they're probably looking for pickup games. I love that. He's Jonathan Davis. Check him out, VC.com. Every day with the write-ups, breaking down all the hockey, and on X at West Coast Hockey NHL. Thanks, as always, for doing this, my friend. We will chat soon.
Always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right, he's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. This is A Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. How do you feel about the way that I've adjusted and progressed throughout the week, Kelly? Because as of right now, in terms of the encroachment into your space with all of my papers,
you're still pretty far away.
I think I've done a pretty good job of keeping them mostly on my end of things.
You're over the actual line, the literal line. You are over,
but I also don't sit.
Which
at
our
the real...
boss, Steve Cohen, agreed with me. On. Yeah, but you're over the line.
But hold on, you are sitting so much further away from the halfway point than me. I was told to sit here. I believe my microphone was set up here, so that's where I set up. I am officially set up closer. So I think if I was set up further away, I wouldn't encroach on your space as much. But then we're sitting too far apart.
You know what, crew? Don't worry. I got your backs once again. I got Matt Brown did the same thing the other day too. You guys should know better by now. I know you're used to being in here by yourselves. Okay, that the one closer in is for when you're by yourself. When you're with someone, you sit further away.
No, they want us as close as possible. That's what I've learned. It's not COVID time, so we don't have to go 6 feet apart, although maybe we're going back in that direction based on the news reading.
Yeah,
no, God. I'm just kidding.
Like every day somewhere else, too?
Yeah, all right. Real quick, I want to hit on some NFL, and we'll do a little bit more NFL on the other side, just because there's so many random tidbits that jumped out to me with all the schedule releases today, or yesterday, I should say.
Oh, I want to hit the rest one, too. Yeah.
Hit me with the rest one right now.
Yeah, this was good. So rest disparity, which we usually talk about, every single season. Saw this from ESPN, I believe this was. How about, okay, net rest difference for the season. This is since 2002, I believe I saw. Yeah, since 2002. Biggest net rest differences in the NFL. 2024 Ravens, and I remember talking about this one a lot 2 years ago. 16 days plus 16 in the net rest difference between days between opponents that they played all season long. Next on this list since 2002 are two teams this upcoming season, the 2026 Bears and the 2026 Bills. So two teams that people are already pretty high on getting positive and very positive rest differentials. That's pretty big. It's still on this graphic, two more teams for this upcoming season, 2026 Cowboys and Commanders with 11 days net rest difference between them and their opponents.
All right, the Bills, eighth toughest schedule, I should say. I always have to reverse it. I'm like, wait, why did I order it this way? You have to remember the way you ordered it.
The 19th easiest.
Yeah. The Bears with the toughest schedule, which is why there's a lot of concerns about them taking that next step. But like at the same time, it's Caleb Williams and it's Ben Johnson. Why wouldn't they get better together another year? That's a song. That's a country song too. Better together. All right. Hey, check it out now. VSiN.com. We got a great deal for you. VSiN.com/subscribe. Promo code PRO for a limited time. Get the annual subscription. Normally $240 for just $199, and we'll throw in two extra months for free. That's the best bets, the articles. I'm looking Tyler Shoemaker on the WNBA, best MLB bets from Adam Burke, all and more, VSiN.com/subscribe.